Well, praise the Lord for that. Amen. And what a great song we should give all to the Lord. You know, I did not have anything against Brother James Hoffmeister. I was just telling your pastor that I thought you ought to have at least people that are saved preach for you. So, I'm just warning you. And so anything he says about me, just forget it. All right, just forget it. But he's a good friend of mine, and I'm actually going to be preaching his missions conference down in Trinidad this next month, and looking forward to that. And Brother James and I have the same home church. Our home church is in Austin, Texas, and so we have I've known him for many, many, many years. And let me just say this, I would very much encourage you to be back tonight. Brother James, of all the preachers I've ever heard in my life, he is in the top 10. Just a great man of God, a great preacher of the Word of God, loves people. One of the reasons he's up here in Canada is making sure he had some of his people down in Trinidad move up here to Toronto, and he's up here just making sure that they're getting involved in good churches and making sure that they're doing fine. He loves his people so much, and he's a great man of God, and you do not want to miss being in the service tonight, all right? He'll be a great, great blessing to you, and but just don't believe anything he says about me, and that'll be fine. This morning, let's take our Bibles and turn to the book of John, chapter 21. John, chapter 21. John, chapter 21. John, chapter 21. And in honor of God's word, let's stand as we read our text this morning. John chapter 21, let's begin reading in verse number 18. The Bible says, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, when thou wast young, thou girdest thyself," he's talking to Peter, "and walkest whither thou wouldest, but when thou shalt be old, thou shalt stretch forth thine hands, and another shall gird thee and carry thee whither thou wouldest not. This spake he, signifying by what death he should glorify God. And when he had spoken this, he said unto him, Follow me. Then Peter, turning about, seeing the disciple whom Jesus loved following, which also leaned on his breast at supper, and said, Lord, which is he that betrayeth thee? Peter, seeing him, saith to Jesus, Lord, and what shall this man do? Jesus said unto him, If I will that he tarry till I come, what is that to thee? Follow thou me. I'd like to bring you this thought just from what Jesus told Peter here. And the thought is this, what is it to you? What is it to you? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for the word of God this morning. I pray, God, that you would speak to our hearts in a way that only you can. I pray your Holy Spirit would help us, Lord, to see where we need to change, where we need to do better, where we need to be better Christians. Father, I pray that you would use this message to speak to hearts. If there's one here this morning that does not know Jesus Christ as their Savior, I pray that today would be the day of their salvation. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. When you look at the suicide rates of our world, I cannot, forgive me, but I cannot speak for Canada, but at least for the United States of America, the number one month for suicides is in the month of December. And what's amazing to me is that is supposed to be the greatest time of joy. That's supposed to be the greatest time of getting together and being with families and fellowshipping and giving and receiving. And you would think that it would be any other time of the year, but certainly not Christmas. And I believe one of the reasons for that is, and this is kind of what I want to deal on the subject this morning, is we live in a world today where everybody thinks that life has to be fair. And if life is not fair, then everyone's against me, or the government is against me, or people are against me because I don't have the same as everybody else. And I don't have the family that everybody else has, and I don't have the church that everybody else has, or I don't have the clothes that everybody else has, and I don't have the car that everybody else has. And we get this attitude in our life that that because God is blessing somebody else in a certain way, then he has to bless me that way. And because God is using that person in a certain way, he has to do the same for me. But I want us to understand something about the character of God tonight, and that is this. God never has to be fair. You understand that? God does not have to be fair. God is always right. God is always good. In however he deals with you or myself, God is not dealing with or concerned about being fair. God is concerned about him being glorified. And so whether or not you think life is fair to you, or whether or not I think life is fair to me, it really doesn't matter. What matters is God being glorified in my life. And so we have a story here of Peter, and Peter is being addressed by the Lord Jesus Christ, and I don't have time to go through the whole story here today, but just to sum it up, the Lord is telling Peter and letting Peter know how he's going to die. And he says, Peter, he says, I'm just letting you know right now that that I want you to follow me. I want you to do the work that I've called you to do. And Peter, at the end of your life, he says, you are going to be crucified. And what is interesting is that he says here, he says, this spake he, talking in verse number 19, he says, this spake he, signifying by what death he should glorify God. Now you say to yourself, how in the world can death glorify God? How in the world can such an ugly death glorify God? I mean, talking about crucifixion, and you probably have read what is involved in crucifixion and what all goes into it, and the horrible and the most suffering way to die. And Jesus is letting Peter know, Peter, this is how you are going to die. And Peter, being the one who, you know, didn't want to leave anybody else out, he kind of accepted that, and he says, all right, if that is my cross to bear, and that's what you want me to do, Lord, okay, but what about John? How's John gonna die? He's the one that has been loving you. He's the one that's been nearest to you. And Lord, I'm willing to accept my lot in life, and I'm willing to accept my end in life, but what about John? And Jesus makes a very interesting statement that is a very pointed statement, but a statement that you and I really need to come to grips with. Jesus looks at Peter and says, you know what? If I desire that he does not die, if I desire that he be alive at my coming, what is that to you? In other words, Peter, don't be concerned about others' lot in life, and don't be concerned about how I'm going to be glorified in John's life. You be concerned about how I'm going to be glorified in your life. And if I will that you be crucified, and I will that John tarry till I come, what is that to you? You don't be concerned about how I'm going to use you. You don't be concerned about how I'm going to work in your life. You just make sure that you're following me in whatever way that I'm going to use you. We know according to church tradition that John was the only of the disciples that died what we would call a natural death. Yes, he was in prison and exile, but he was the only one of the apostles that did not die a martyr's death. And so we see two opposite extremes here. We see one man, Peter, who died a horrible crucifixion, and we see another man by the name of John who died of natural causes, and yet God was able to use both of these men in tremendous ways, and he was able to be glorified in both of their lives, and yet we look at what God did in each of their lives, and we would sit back, and in our human reasoning, we would say, that's just not fair. That's just not fair that God would take somebody and cause them to go through such suffering and take somebody else and allow them to die a natural death. God, that just doesn't seem fair. But always remember this, that God in his working and God in his dealing is not concerned with being fair. God is concerned with being glorified. And so what I have to do as a believer and what you have to do as a believer is to simply accept and say, all right, this is the cross that God has me to bear. This is the direction that God has me to go. And I need to be willing to accept it and allow God to be glorified in my life and not be concerned about how God is working in somebody else's life. Now, let me illustrate this if I could. In the Bible, Jesus did many different types of miracles. One of the most amazing miracles that he did was healing the blind. I could not imagine, as I get older, I find myself having to wear more glasses and having to, wear contact lenses and whatever just to be able to see, but I could not imagine being blind. We have a man in our church in Uganda. His name is Sylvester. And Sylvester is blind. And every single Sunday, he walks 7 miles with his little son leading him to church. Kind of puts things in perspective. 7 miles. But I want you to understand something here. To be blind means you cannot see. To be blind is, in these days, in the Bible times, and I understand in our day and age today, we've got many things to help blind people to be adapted in life and to be useful in life, but in these days of Jesus Christ, if you are blind, you are considered useless. You could not do anything, and that's why the blind people are the ones that were sitting on the highway side begging, because without sight, you could not go anywhere, you could not do anything, you could not accomplish anything. And so when I see these men that are going from being blind to being able to see and to try to envision and the excitement and what they're feeling, what they're thinking when they can see after all these years, it is absolutely amazing. But I want to look at some stories this morning, and bear with me as we go through this, because I think you'll be able to see what I am trying to accomplish this morning in this message, and just try to help us this morning to stop being so concerned about God being fair and just accepting what God has for us and letting him be glorified in our life. Look in Luke chapter 18. The book of Luke chapter 18. Luke chapter 18, and look in verse number 35. Luke chapter 18, and verse number 35. The Bible says, "And it came to pass that as he was come nigh unto Jericho, a certain blind man sat by the highway side begging." That's all he could do. Hearing the multitude pass by, he asked what it meant. And they told him that Jesus of Nazareth passed by. And he cried, saying, "Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me." And they which went before rebuked him that he should hold his peace, but he cried so much the more, "Thou son of David, have mercy on me." And Jesus stood and commanded him to be brought unto him. And when he was come near, he asked him, saying, "What wilt thou that I should do unto thee?" And he said, "Lord, that I might receive my sight." And Jesus said unto him, "Receive thy sight. Thy faith hath saved thee." And immediately he received his sight and followed him, doing what? Glorifying God. Now watch this. Here's a man who has never seen. He's doing all that he knows to do, and that is to beg. He hears that Jesus is passing by, and he no doubt has heard the stories of Jesus healing people and Jesus helping people. And so he said, hey, this is my chance. This is my opportunity. Maybe this is the day that I would be able to see. And so he cries out and says, Lord, have mercy upon me. Help me, thou son of David. And Jesus stops by and says, what do you want me to do? And he says, Lord, oh, that I could receive my sight. And the Bible says that Jesus speaks the word and he's healed. Amen. Just like that. Just that same mouth that spoke the world into existence. The same mouth that said, let there be light. The same mouth that spoke man into existence and man became a living soul. All of that, that same mouth that did all that said, receive your sight. And the Bible says immediately he saw. And the Bible says he went away glorifying God. Take your Bibles and turn over to the book of Matthew. The book of Matthew, chapter 9. Matthew, chapter 9. And notice in verse number 27. Matthew, chapter 9, and verse number 27. And when Jesus departed thence, two blind men followed him, crying and saying, Thou son of David, have mercy on us. And when he was come into the house, the blind men came to him, and Jesus said unto them, Believe ye that I am able to do this? They said unto him, Yea, Lord. Then touched he their eyes, saying, According to your faith be it unto you. And their eyes were open, and Jesus straightly charged them, saying, See that no man know it. But they, when they departed, spread abroad his fame in all that country. So now you have two blind men. And these two blind men come to Jesus and said, Lord, we want to be healed. We want to see. We want to be able to have our sight back. And so Jesus says, Do you believe that I can do this? Do you have faith that I can actually give you your sight? And they said, Yes, Lord. And the Bible says that Jesus reached over and touched their eyes and said, Be it unto you according to your faith. And they were healed. They could see. And the Bible says they went away, and you can imagine the excitement, you can imagine the joy that is in their hearts as they're seeing things for the very first time and thanking God for what God has done in their life. What an amazing, amazing miracle. Amen. Well, let's go to John chapter 7. The book of John chapter 7. Stay with me. You'll see where I'm going here in just a second. John chapter 9, John chapter 9, and verse number 1. And as Jesus passed by, he saw a man which was blind from his birth. And his disciples asked him, saying, Master, who did sin, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? Jesus answered, Neither hath this man sinned nor his parents, but that the works of God should be made manifest in him. I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. When he had thus spoken, he spat on the ground and made clay of the spittle. And he anointed the eyes of the blind man with the clay and said unto him, Go wash in the pool of Siloam, which is by interpretation sent. He went his way therefore and washed and came seeing. Now wait a minute. Why in the world would this man come to Jesus, a man that was blind from his birth, and the disciples said, is it because of his sin or because of his parents' sin? And Jesus said, no. He says, that my works might be made manifest, that I might receive the glory, that I might be glorified through what is done. That's the reason this man is blind. And so this man had a desire to see just like the other ones did. And so the Bible says that Jesus reached down and he got some dust, he got some clay from the ground, and he spit in the clay and made mud. Now, I just want you to imagine this. This is Jesus Christ. This is the Son of God. This is the Messiah. This is the Creator of the universe, reaching down, spitting in the soil, taking his finger and mixing the mud with the spittle and putting it on the eyes of the blind man. My first question is this. Why? Why? Why would God make mud out of spit? I mean, you and I, we think about spit and we think that is disgusting. All right? We try to teach our children, don't spit. We try to teach our children, don't play with your spit. And here we find Jesus Christ making mud with his spit. And he takes that mud and he puts it on the eyes of that blind man. So here's my question. Why? Why was it that one blind man, he speaks the word and he's healed? The next blind man, he touches his eyes. The next blind man, he makes mud from the spit. Why? Could he not have spoken the word in every one of them? Yes, he could. Then what was his reasoning? Why would Jesus Christ, in all of these different instances of healing blind people, why in the world would he use different ways and different methods to accomplish the same purpose? Let's look at one more. Turn over to Mark chapter 8. The book of Mark, chapter 8. Mark chapter 8, and look in verse number 22. The Bible says, "And he cometh to Bethsaida, and they bring a blind man unto him, and watch this, and besought him to touch him." Lord, here's a blind man. We've seen you heal before. We've seen you touch the blind before. And so, Lord, would you please touch this blind man? The Bible says in verse 23, "And he took the blind man by the hand and led him out of the town. And when he had spit on his eyes and put his hands on him, he asked him if he saw aught. And he looked up and said, I see men as trees walking. And after that, he put his hands again upon his eyes and made him look up, and he was restored and saw every man clearly." This man is brought by his friends. Lord, he's blind. He wants to see. Could you touch him? Jesus said no. And the Bible says that Jesus took the blind man by the hand and led him out of the town, away from the people watching, away from the crowds that were gathering around. And the Bible says that when he got him out of the town, that Jesus spit on his eyes. Have you ever been spit on? I have. It's no fun. When you get spit on, your mind starts registering all kinds of diseases that could be communicated. You start getting the hand sanitizer out, and you start bathing, and you start brushing your teeth, and you do everything you can because you don't want to catch anything. Nobody likes to be spit on. As a matter of fact, the Bible says that when Jesus Christ was being crucified, that the Roman soldiers, as they were beating him and as they were mocking him, the Bible says they spit on him. Why? Because to spit on somebody is the lowest form of showing degradation and contempt for someone. It is to humble someone in such a low way, thinking that I think of you nothing more as just spit. And yet again, we find the Son of God spitting on this man's eyes. Now here's what I want you to see this morning. All four of these instances had the very same need. They needed God to work in their life. And all four of these instances had the same outcome. They could all see. But in all four of these instances, God chose to do it in a different way. And so my question to you today is this. Are you willing to let God spit in your eyes? Are you willing to let God spit in your eyes if that's what it takes for God to use your life? You know, I've lived in Uganda for 21 years. And Uganda is not the easiest place to live. We don't have good electricity. We don't have good water. We don't have good roads. The culture is difficult to understand. The languages are tough to speak. And sometimes in my life, as I've been missionary in Uganda, there have been many times in my life that I've felt like quitting. I look at different churches around the world and I see God blessing those churches. I look at buildings like this that have heating and air conditioning and soft benches to sit on and carpet on the floor and I look at churches that seem to be very successful in there, and God is blessing and the churches are full and I look and I say to myself, God, why couldn't I have been called to something like that? Why couldn't I have been called to pastor in America or pastor in a first world country where the living is easier and the things are more dependable, where I could have a nicer vehicle and a nicer home and more dependable electricity and water? Why couldn't I have those kind of things? I mean, Lord, of all the places to send me, you send me to Masaka, Uganda, East Africa, a place that no one on this earth, unless you live there, has ever heard of. And I can't tell you how many times that I've asked God why. And every time God says to me, what is that to you? What is that to you? This is what I have called you to do. This is how I will be glorified in your life. Follow me. Follow me. And I have learned through the years that God is not about being fair. God is not about treating everybody the same. God is not about leading everybody in the same direction. God is about being glorified. And what I have to do is I have to be willing to allow God to use whatever means possible in my life so that He can be glorified in my life. And I look at other people and I say, well, God, why is it that you have to spit in my eyes? I mean, couldn't you just touch like you touch them? Couldn't you just speak the word like you spoke to them? Why is it that you have to choose to spit in my eyes? Why is it that you have to make mud out of your spit and put it on my eyes? What? Lord, the same result is there and the same outcome is there. Why do you have to do it differently? Because I want to be glorified. And I just wondered how many people are sitting in churches today where God has a desire to work in their life and God has a desire to use their life, but they won't do it because they don't want to be spit in the eyes. Oh, they're willing to have God speak the word. They're willing to have God even touch. But spit, that's a little humiliating. That's just too low, God. I'll serve you as long as it's like this, but Lord, when it gets to the humiliation part, when it gets to spitting, and when it gets to that gross stuff and that uncomfortable stuff, I don't want to have any part of it. I wonder today if there's someone here that you know God has been working on your heart. You know God's been leading you in a particular direction. It might be in your giving. It might be in your going. It might be in your service. It might be in whatever capacity, and you're holding back because you think that's just too humiliating for me. Lord, that's just too much out of my comfort zone. That's just too much out of what I'm comfortable with. And I have a certain type of lifestyle, and I have a certain type of way that I have to live. And as long as you have me serve you within those parameters, God, I'll serve you. But when you get me out of those parameters, and it gets to a point where it's uncomfortable for me, and when it gets to a point where it's humiliating for me, then no thank you, God, I'm out. And so we sit there in our pews, still blind. Still blind to what God could have done in your life had you let Him spit in your eyes. I don't know what you're going through in your life. It might be health. It might be finances. It might be family. Might be all kinds of difficulties. And you look around and you see everybody else and you think, how come they don't have the financial problems I have? How come they don't have the health problems that I have? How come they don't have the family difficulties that I'm going through? Why does it seem like everybody else, it seems like everything else is going well for them? Why does it seem like I have to go through these struggles? May I kindly say this? What is that to you? What is that to you? Would you be willing to understand that God is a sovereign God? God knows how much you can take. God knows how much He can use you. And God never puts too much on that we can handle. Amen. And would you be willing to say, Lord, here am I this morning. If You're willing and You desire to spit in my eyes, then spit in my eyes. But whatever it takes, I want You to work in my life. I want You to do something with my life. And Lord, You may do something different with them. You may do something different with her. You may do something different with that family. That's fine, God. Whatever You do with me, I will choose to follow. Would you stand with your heads bowed and eyes closed? Everyone standing with your heads bowed and eyes closed. As the pianist comes to the piano this morning, very interesting, as you look at these stories, we find all these people were different people. And God accomplished the same work in every one of their lives. But the means to it was very, very different. One to speaking the words to the other extreme of spitting in the eyes. But they all accepted it, and they all left seeing. I wonder if we, as we enter this Christmas season, maybe we need to come and get on our knees at this altar and say, Lord, help me not to be so concerned about life being fair. But Lord, help me this Christmas season to be concerned about You being glorified. And Lord, in whatever capacity, in whatever way that You desire to use me, I'm willing to let You use me. You might be here this morning and you've never trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior. All God's grace is sufficient for every sinner to come to Christ. We could take the Bible this morning and show you from the Word of God how you can trust Jesus Christ as your Savior. In just a minute, I'm going to pray. And after I pray, Christian, if God has spoken to your heart this morning, let me encourage you to come to this altar and say, Lord, here I am. In whatever way You want to do it. In whatever way You want to do it. God, use my life. Touch me. Speak the word. Make mud. Spit in my eyes. Whatever it takes. I'm going to follow You. If you're here this morning and you've never been saved, I want to encourage you to come and just stand right here in the front. And we'll take the Bible and show you from the Bible how you can know Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior. Heavenly Father, I thank You for the message this morning, and I thank You for speaking to my heart again. God, I just pray that You would use this for Your honor and glory. Speak to hearts this morning. As the pianist continues to play, if God spoke into your heart, would you step out and come this morning? Christian, would you get on your knees before God this morning and say, Lord, here I am. Whatever capacity, whatever way, whatever means possible, I want you to use me. Want to spit in my eyes? Here they are. Want to touch me? Want to make mud? Whatever it is. There's a lot of people today that will not go to the mission field. They won't go to the mission field because they think God is spitting their eyes. God's not being fair. There's people that won't give what God has told them to give because they think that life is not fair. I don't have much, God. Why would you ask me to give? Why would you ask me to sacrifice? I don't have a lot. May I say, what is that to you? What is that to me? Oh, may God help us this morning to understand the importance of being used by God in whatever capacity and whatever means possible. God's spoken, you come tonight. Others have come. Maybe you need to join them this morning.